It becomes more and more clear that Aaron Glenn is running a different type of team than some previous head coaches. Accountability is real. We saw it this week. We're going to talk about that. A few final notes from the Steelers game as well, and a look ahead to the Bills game with our friend from The Athletic, Joe Biscaglia. Thanks for joining us here on the Flight Plan podcast. The baggage handlers, if you're checking us out live, thanks for joining. We're going with that for now until people complain or love it or whatever. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt. Please like the show wherever you're watching or listening. Give us a review, all that fun stuff. Zach, we're in the middle of it now, 1 week down. How you feeling?
Feel good. I mean, that was a fun game. We talked about it the other day. It was like, if they could play, like, even if they lose a bunch of games, if they score a lot of points, like, that's so much different than what we've dealt with around here. Even like, if you think about 2022, when they started at 6-2, there was a lot of excitement. It wasn't like the offense was playing well that entire time. It was like the defense was dominating. So it was these like weird games where Zach Wilson wasn't playing well, but they were still winning anyway. This is like the opposite. And as like, just like a football watcher, that's more fun. Like, I'm not, if you're like a football guy, you might not enjoy it as much, but I enjoy high scoring offenses, and we haven't seen a lot of that around here. So, you know, if the Jets can match it up with the defense and get some wins, especially this week, like, we'll talk about it with Joe when we really preview, but like, the Jets winning this game, like, the noise around here would get pretty loud pretty quick. So in a good way, but maybe like an overhyped kind of way. But you know, I'm happy the season's here, and you know, there's the potential that the Jets have a quarterback that might, at least, I mean, if you can build on this, like, they might have a quarterback you can think about keeping beyond this year. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but he was highly, highly encouraging in week one, as you know.
I mean, we know that the fan base, like, moral victories, they just don't fly anymore, right, at this point. Yeah. But like you said, like, entertaining games, like, all right, you're a fan and you're going to take 3.5 hours of your Sunday afternoon to watch this team. Regardless, right? I mean, Jets fans are dedicated. They're watching these games, whether it's a terrible 6-3 dreadful loss or some crazy loss, whatever it is, you'd rather have it 3.5 hours of entertainment before the potential disappointment sets in. But as you said, there's hope here. And as far as the Bills go, like, yes, obviously, the Bills are the far superior teams. No question about that. The Bills, and we could probably say it now, the Bills are going to win the AFC East. But two of the last three games in the series at MetLife, the Jets have won regardless. So, and we'll get into those games because they're weird as well.
Yeah, but, I do want to just say, just real quick, jumping off that, like, even just like listening to Robert Mays and a lot of Scoop City and not even the podcast outside of The Athletic, everybody's like, the Jets game was kind of the best one of the weekend before the Bills game happened. Like, everybody is like, because everybody thought, and I did too, that was going to, I thought the Jets were going to win like 10-9. Like, I thought it was going to be that kind of game. And so the fact that like the entire NFL was like, whoa, that was kind of fun. And so now everybody's talking about this Bills Jets game as like a must watch this week. Whereas like a week ago, nobody would have said that going into week two. So it's just funny.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. I mentioned it in the tease. Accountability. It's a word that's been thrown around at One Just Drive for a long time, but not necessarily followed up on or enforced. But we saw it this week. Xavier Gibson cut by Aaron Glenn and this team. Now, they said, like, it's not because he fumbled the ball. Although, after the game, Aaron Glenn specifically called out the fact that they turned the ball over and that's why they lost, and said players who lose games for us aren't going to be around. So like, while he can say it wasn't specific to that, like, I mean, you could kind of follow the breadcrumbs too. It didn't help.
Yeah. You know, let's be honest. Like, if he doesn't fumble it, he's still here. So like, I get you're saying, like, maybe if it's a collection of things that happened, then he probably shouldn't have won the job in the first place either. I think ultimately, you know, there's some fans who have like criticized them going with Gibson in the first place, which I get to a degree, but I think you have to give them some credit for correcting the mistake after week one, if you want to call it a mistake. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear to me they don't view Jamal Pritchard as a serious option because they've just like gone out and gotten a couple of more options. So like, clearly Pritchard didn't show them enough to take Gibson's job more than Gibson winning it is like, in retrospect, what it looked like. But, you know, ultimately it's not funny, but it's crazy to think like the bookends of the Xavier Gibson tenure where the punt return touchdown for the win in his first career game against the Bills, he was everybody's favorite after that, to now he fumbles away the kickoff that probably loses them the game, and he's enemy number one. Like, I think the reaction to him getting cut was a little mean, to be honest, by some of the fan base, which I get. I think he'll get picked up, honestly. Somebody will sign him because, you know, he's another change of scenery guy probably at this point. But, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate the way it went for him, but ultimately he hasn't really shown much since that. And even earlier in the game before the fumble, he had a return that he probably should have taken for a lot more yards, and he, like, tripped up. Remember, he was only back at kick returner because Kene Nwangwu was hurt too. So, like, if Nwangwu doesn't get hurt, Gibson doesn't get put in that position, and he probably doesn't get cut also. So it's one of those, like,
life in the NFL, right?
Crossroads moments where it's just like so many things happen that led to both the loss and Xavier Gibson's time here being over. But they brought in a couple intriguing options, so we can get to them next.
Yeah, let's get into that. Who's first of all, kick returner, right?
Yeah.
Nwangwu, I guess his status still up in the air as far as Sunday. Yeah. If he's healthy, you would assume he'll be the kick returner. If not, not going to be Pritchett. You made that clear. You have Arian Smith. You have Isaiah Davis. There's some new faces. How do you see kick return going, first of all? The guy that's actually definitely going to play of all these players on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if Nwangwu is playing, it's him because he's the best one for sure. They did sign Isaiah Williams off the Bengals practice squad. He was with the Lions last year. I think the fact that he's on the active roster gives him a good shot, but I'm at his numbers like aren't that great. He's actually not that fast. He ran like a 4.6 3.40 coming out of the draft last year. He had 11 punt returns last year for the Lions for 8.5 yard average, 5 kick returns average, 43 yards. In college, it was kind of the same. He's a 5'9 slot, former quarterback. Aaron Glenn clearly likes him. The more intriguing one is Kylan Robinson, the running back they signed to their practice squad. He's a guy that I wrote it down here, actually. He At Texas, he had a kick return touchdown, and he also had a punt block returned for a touchdown. So he's like a quality special teams player. So I'm intrigued by him. I'm curious to see if it's like a legit competition this week or if they're just going to give it to Isaiah Williams if Kene can't go. And then the question is, who's going to – Xavier Gibson was primarily the punt returner. So now the question is, who's the new punt returner? And it's kind of the same thing. And I don't know if Isaiah Williams – maybe he's the punt returner to start out and they do somebody else on kick returns. I don't know. But they have a gaggle of guys, and you need somebody to emerge. It's not ideal that you're kind of scrambling to find a returner and this early in the season, but that's where the Jets are at. They need their special teams needs to do a better job this week, specifically in the return game.
All right. The fan base would love to see some other changes as well. So I wanted to touch on those. It's the secondary, right? And this is a game coming up on Sunday where the secondary needs to be better, obviously, much better. And Sauce was great. So you look at the positions, obviously, of Tony Adams and Brandon Stevens. Stevens, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 2 touchdowns. And then Adams, 3 receptions, 3 targets. But you have these two rookies waiting in the wings, Zach. And we've talked about it like it's just a matter of time, maybe. How quickly is that time coming from Malachi Moore and Azaree Thomas?
Yeah, I'd say Malachi is more likely to play sooner than Azaree. I don't think either of them are going to start this week, I would say. But Tony Adams, he played 100% of the snaps. You don't go from playing 100% to zero. So I know everybody wants him to be completely benched. Remember, rookies take an adjustment. I mean, I know Armon Membo, who we're going to talk about later, had a dominant first game. But rookies usually take some time to adjust. Azaree Thomas missed almost the entire training camp with an injury. So I'll just say right now, like, he is not going to be starting. And I'd be surprised if he played even notable snaps yet. Like that's a later in the season thing. They believe in Brandon Stevens as much as the fan base doesn't. It was one game. He had a good training camp. Like, I think take a breath on that one. Malachi Moore is one I want to see get more snaps. So I'm curious if he at least gets worked into the game plan a little more. I would think he would. His tackling is better than Tony Adams. You know, he has some questions and covers and stuff like that. But I think Malachi is someone we talked about before the season as a potential starter. So, I would hope they get him because I think Tony Adams is who he is at this point, whereas Malachi Moore has the potential to be something. So I would hope he gets more snaps this week. I think he played like 2 snaps on defense last week. He needs to play more. Adams needs to play less, I would say.
All right, before we get to Joe and really dive into this Bills game, I did want to put a bow on the Steelers game. I think this is something we can do every week because we do the short wrap-up episode of the game, and then some time passes and other things pop up that we maybe didn't get to that are worth talking about. So I did want to do that. A couple different things. One, and you teased it, Armon Membo, the offensive line was obviously good, and we talked about that despite AVT being out. But Membo particularly, first game in the NFL, J.J. Watt's lining up on the – or T.J. Watt's lining up on the other side. No sacks, no hurries, no pressures, no quarterback hits. I mean, you can't ask for much more in a guy's first NFL start.
Yeah, I mean, it was about as good as it can get in your first start. I know they did run away from T.J. Watt, which you can't blame them for that, but there's a lot of clips of Membo. Like, the NFL film grinders of the world have been posting clips of him just, like, having these dominant reps against T.J. Watt. And, you know, I even – you know, PFF is a flawed system, but I dug into their grades, basically going back as far as they go, which was like 2006, I think. And in terms of like a rookie tackle in week one, he had the best overall grade, like not even close, of any rookie tackle in that stretch. He had the second best pass run blocking grade behind Lane Johnson, and like only like five tackles had a better pass blocking grade. And one of them was named Joe Thomas. So I was like, I'm not saying he's going to be like Joe Thomas or Lane Johnson, but like, it doesn't get much better for a first game, especially for a 21-year-old at a position where, if you look historically, I'm writing something about Membo for tomorrow. Like, rookies usually struggle at the beginning of their careers. I covered Andrew Thomas with the Giants. He was an absolute disaster in the beginning and became an all pro. So him being this good, this quickly, like, I'm sure he's going to go through his bumps, but to ace your first test against T.J. Watt of all people, like, that's nothing to sniff at. Like, I would put Armon in the top three of reasons to be excited about this offense. Like, Justin Fields is number one, and he might be number two, or Breece Hall. Like, that trio of guys was absolutely fantastic in week one, and Membo was the biggest surprise out of that trio. So they should feel really good about their offensive line, frankly. And, you know, we were kind of concerned a week ago when, or less than a week ago, sorry, when Elijah Vera Tucker got injured. So it's crazy how quickly it changed.
Speaking of guys that, you know, we thought we'd be excited about on the offense, obviously Mason Taylor, the second round pick, his first game, one catch, 20 yards. He went to the tent as well with an injury. And obviously during the summer, he was battling, he was banged up a little bit throughout the summer. So I don't think we're seeing Mason Taylor 100%, obviously, but what's your take on where he is, and like, is this an injury that's going to really linger and keep kind of popping up throughout the season, or is it something he can put behind him?
Yeah, I mean, I have some concerns about it. I mean, it was a high ankle sprain he suffered. He wound up coming back way quicker than expected. I saw him go to the medical tent. I think he got rolled up on during the game. Then he came back out and he had his only catch of the day, which was this great 20-yard catch. So the talent is clearly there. You hope this isn't something that affects him too much. Jeremy Ruckert, as we talked about, had a really good game the other day. But Mason, the ceiling is him being like the number two or number three target in this offense. So we'll find out. He didn't practice yesterday. I'm curious to see if he practices this week, because that'll obviously dictate if he plays on Sunday.
All right. And with that, let's look ahead to Sunday and the Bills. And we welcome in Joe Biscaglia, the Athletics Bills reporter. Joe, thanks for coming on, man.
Tim, Zach, what's going on, gentlemen?
It's great to have you always, man.
I know.
Go ahead.
About to say, every time I see Zach in the press box, it usually results in like a 20 to 30 minute conversation just catching up on life. So I always appreciate it for lumping us together, and great to talk about this game with you guys.
Well, that's why it's fun being in the same division as, you know, at our company. We only get to see each other at these games. So I get to see you twice a year. And then we both have had like big life changes over the last couple of years. So it's like each time it's like you have a kid and then he's growing up and I get married and, you know, we have all that stuff going on. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
And Joe, you do something that I find amazing that me and Zach don't do because we're on the show together. You do a podcast, Buffalo Beat. You just do it by yourself a lot of time. You just talk. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah,
it's great too. I will say it's not just Joe's just going to ramble on for 40 minutes. Like, it's really good.
It feels like it at times, though. I'm just messing. I actually got my start in the industry in sports radio, so I took my lumps in the, you know, talking into a microphone without any callers for 3 hours straight and then listening back to it and being absolutely horrified by the amount of filler language I had the entire time. So yeah, yeah, it's hearkening back to those days for sure.
All right, well, let's get into this game. And you had obviously a late one on Sunday night and game of the week and just absolute like madness in Buffalo with that Ravens game and the Bills comeback. And I didn't notice that until yesterday when I was starting to look it up, you know, amongst the madness of the comeback. But Josh Allen, fourth quarter. This is the fourth quarter. 16 of 21, 251 yards, passing touchdown, and two rushing touchdowns. I mean, if that's a game, that's one of the best performances of the week. He did it in a quarter. It's first quarterback ever to throw for 250 yards with a pair of rushing touchdowns in one quarter. That's in NFL history. Can you just take us through that game and just like the overall roller coaster ride?
That game was dumb. No. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. Like it was, there were so many times where you looked at it and went, all right, is that the moment where it's like, okay, this is finally done. Baltimore is finally put them away. But you just can never rule out a Josh Allen offense. I mean, even before that, the offense was really struggling. Like Joe Brady had a good scripted first drive where, you know, they scored in seven plays, march it down for a touchdown. It was like statement drive against this great, vaunted, talented Baltimore defense. And then Baltimore just shuts them down for the better part of the next 2.5 quarters, you know, field goal here, field goal there. That happened. But, you know, the Bills weren't pushing the ball down the field. They were trying to settle for like yards after catch stuff, a lot of screens out to the side, trying to establish their run game, and it just wasn't working. And then as soon as they got to right at the end of the third quarter, when they got the ball back, those final five drives were just, I don't know, it was an out-of-body experience watching that entire game happen, honestly. I mean, and I've seen my share of these games, like the Rams game last year, the Lions game last year, just these back-and-forth 40-plus point affairs where it's like, okay, what is going to happen here? But, you know, with Allen, you always have to acknowledge the fact that it's never quite over. And they were down 15 points, not once, but twice in the fourth quarter, which makes it even more insane about the level of comeback. 424 total yards, four touchdowns, no turnovers. He's pretty much eradicated turnovers from his game, which is one of the most remarkable parts about him with where he started. And now 29 years old, prime of his career, looks to be in the catbird seat of the week one MVP power rankings here. And the fact that Baltimore allowed that one to get away is one that's going to stick with them for a while. But it wasn't perfect for the Bills. I mean, obviously, like I said, the offense struggled, but also their defense was a mess, a complete mess. And it has Sean McDermott concerned. You could tell by the way he was talking this week.
That's a good segue. But first, I just want to point out, you said you can never count out Josh Allen, and I made the mistake of counting him out. And I like tweeted that the AFC East is about to all be 0-1, and then Old Takes Exposed got me. So I literally tweeted it, and then he went on the comeback. It was like I triggered it. So
yeah, I remember like 7 minutes to go, they were down by 15. I sit next to Tim Graham, our colleague at The Athletic, and I'm like, this S ain't over. and then Derrick Henry winds up fumbling, and then I look at him like, okay, here we go.
Man, that's got to be a wild experience covering, because, you know, we have to do these things that we post like at the gun pretty much. So I'm sure you're getting ready to write a certain way. And then but you always kind of have to be, okay, there's a chance it doesn't go this way. So
I've learned to not write until the gun with this team, with this quarterback, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, on the defense note, like they obviously just gave up 40 points. Like what were the expectations from your end, at least? What were the expectations for this defense going into the season, and what level of concern do you have after that one? Especially, they're going to be going against another running team, running quarterback. Yeah. Like, they're kind of like the poor man's Ravens at this point, but they still like have similar kind of attacking style. So,
oh yeah, the concepts are very similar. I got done watching the Jets film yesterday. And you guys were talking about the offensive line play. Membu looked great. Tippmann, I thought, looked really good too. Yeah. But you know, that being said, for the expectations for the Bills defense this year, I thought there was a chance they would come into the year potentially being a shootout type of team. And that's just because a lot of these question marks that they had going in, they invested a ton in the offseason to their defense, specifically in the draft. And they are expecting, or they're having a lot of these young players take a lot of snaps for them. Like Cole Bishop is starting at safety. He got a handful of starts last year, but it wasn't like he won the job. He was hurt in camp as a rookie, and that kind of, you know, ruined his opportunity to potentially win the job. And then from there, you've got just these bevy of young defensive linemen who are getting a lot of snaps, like TJ Sanders, their second round pick, Deion Walker, their fourth round pick, Javon Solomon, who was a fifth round pick last year. They're all getting bunches of snaps. And then on top of that, you have the question mark about the cornerback two spot. I mean, Christian Benford is awesome, but you know, yesterday or on Sunday, they started a sixth round rookie in Dorian Strong because both Tre'Davious White, who's not that good anymore, and Maxwell Harrison, their first round pick, they weren't available for the game. So there was a lot to kind of get through there for them. And then when you couple that with the middle of their defense, just basically part of the ways the entire game, like they were so concerned about Lamar getting outside that, you know, they ruined their leverage on the inside, and the defensive tackles were not winning their one-on-ones. The linebackers were just getting taken out by blocks, which I think is a major concern for them if they don't rectify it. And then the safety play is part of the deal too. So that to me is why this team had the potential to have to win the way that they did in that one. Not like that, mind you, but
yeah, that's in the way that I don't know how sustainable that is over the course of 18 weeks.
Right. But the thing with Sean McDermott is defensive head coach. That's where he cut his teeth in the NFL. He usually finds a way to figure it out within the confines of a season. So that's why I think they're not freaking out. But he was very intentional with what he said to us yesterday, saying, you know, this needs to be a difficult week for us, even though the result that we had, because there are a lot of honest and tough conversations that need to be had this week in order to get to where we want to go and to fix the stuff that we need to fix. And he even mentioned on Monday after the game, he's like, all right, yeah, when I went to my film session, I watched the offense and special teams first just to get eyes on it, and then I dug into the defense. And you know what that means when you put of your efforts into looking at one side of the ball.
Joe, the Jets' defense the last few years has actually done pretty well against Josh Allen if you compare them against Josh Allen versus the rest of the league. But this is a very different defense. The past few years, it's been no blitz and just try to get there. With some talented edge players and a defensive line. Now the Jets become a heavy blitz team. So just talk about how Josh Allen generally does against teams that blitz as much as the Jets will on Sunday.
I'm not saying this just because I've seen it, watch him play. I'm not sure how you defend Josh Allen, if I'm honest. Like, he used to just evaporate at the sign of an all-out blitz. And that's what, I mean, even against the Ravens, I remember his rookie year, his second year, he played the Ravens, and they just crushed him in a late game situation with an all out blitz. And then all of a sudden, fast forward to 2025, they try to hit him with an all out blitz at the end of the game. And he does a hand signal to Keon Coleman. It's a quick slant. And then all of a sudden they're set up for the game winning field goal. Like, that's just the type of way that he's kind of progressed throughout his career. And in terms of like what he's best against, I would say it's probably against man coverage. And I know Aaron Glenn likes to play a ton of it.
Yeah.
Which to me is why those cornerback receiver matchups are going to be so critical to what happens here. Like, I'm fascinated. Zach, I would want to ask you, is Gardner going to shadow Keon Coleman? Are they probably looking at him as the guy? I mean, Joshua Palmer, I think, would have an advantage over Stevens. I think Shakir has an advantage over Michael Carter. But, you know, let me throw it back to you.
I mean, that's actually the next question on the rundown, Joe. Well done.
You didn't even see the rundown, and you're just crushing it right now.
Look, man. I get it. It's the matchup.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm honest. I don't know, honestly. I'm curious to see, because Sauce did travel with DK other than three routes. And on those three routes, DK had three catches for 70 yards. Mm. And that's when they were in zone, too. But like you said, Josh does better against man, which I'm sure the Jets are aware of as well. So I can't imagine Sauce would travel with Keon Coleman. I would guess it'd be more likely situational and they stick to their sides. But
interesting.
How do you, I don't know. How do you feel about the rest of the receiver? Like, I feel like it's a bunch of solid guys. No, like, star guys. They have Josh Palmer, Khalil Shakir, Elijah Moore, old friend. Like, how do you, like, the Jets non-sauce division pass defense was a disaster last week. Like, yeah. I imagine Josh Allen's going to attack Brandon Stevens quite a bit.
Yeah, and I believe that he did when Stevens was with the Ravens.
In
the divisional playoff game last year. The one difference that the Bills have done this year with the receiver, and we're only one game in, so this could be completely flipped on its head. But last year, they spread out their snaps a ton between their receiver room, like all five guys. This time around, it was very condensed to those top three, and Coleman was out there. And you know, watching him throughout training camp, you could see it from a mile away. He was out there on the field with Josh Allen during training camp practices all the time. He winds up playing over 85% of the snaps, which is not abnormal for this Bills team because they used to do it with Gabe Davis back in the day. And he's going to play that prototypical X role. So they are really excited about him. He definitely took a big step forward over his last 2-3 weeks of training camp to where he was getting those inconsistent moments out of his game. And it even popped up early in the Ravens game. He had a drop on a wide receiver screen. It hit him right in the hands of just like this concentration stuff is what they're trying to get out of his game. But, you know, talk about contested catch situations. He can go up and get it. Like, former Michigan State basketball player was a very good rebounder back in the day. That's the type of stuff that the cornerback is going to have to deal with. So, and then they really like Joshua Palmer because he gives them something they didn't have that last year, which is separation. And so that's why I was wondering if they would try to focus on Coleman and potentially leaving Palmer on Stevens. And I think that is a massive mismatch if that's what ends up happening.
Two of the last three games at MetLife have gone the way of the Jets, including
that's few years crazy, ago, by the way.
the Aaron Rodgers Achilles game was part of that. In all of the crazy Bills games you've covered, that has to be up there, right?
I actually did not cover that game. That was 2 days before the birth of my son.
I was trying to think if you were there, and I could not. I'm like, I don't remember talking to him that day or not. So
I was on full on baby watch mode at that point.
Wow. Okay. So, well, it was crazy. We could tell you that.
Yes, it was.
The Jets obviously traded for Harrison Phillips right before the season, it seems like he's beloved everywhere he goes. Just personality and the way he's in the community. Like, what do you remember about him from when he was with the Bills, and how much do they love him over there?
Oh, Sean loves that guy, and not only as a person, but the fact that he had a wrestling background before in high school. And Sean's a big wrestling guy, so anytime he can talk about a rear naked chokehold, he's all about it. But Harrison Phillips is, you know, super solid run defending block occupier guy, and like I watch him. He's even gotten better than when he left Buffalo in that respect. He's definitely has a lot more nuance to his game. And, you know, as a person, they love him. You know, he's the guy that got to play with Kyle Williams near the end of Kyle Williams' career. And Williams was a huge personality here in Buffalo before he wound up retiring. So, yes, they missed him. They do miss him, certainly, because their run defending has been not great over the last several years. However, they weren't willing to pony up and pay what the Vikings inevitably did. And I'm sure if there is ever a chance for them to get Harrison Phillips back in their system, they would love to do it because they love to bring guys back. And, you know, as you can look at their roster, they've got
Jordan Poyer just came back. Yeah,
dude, it's Jordan Poyer, Gabe Davis, Dane Jackson came back. He got cut and then signed back with the practice squad. There's more. Micah Hyde came out of like fake retirement last year to be on the practice squad. Like there's something in the water here in Buffalo. They just love coming back under this regime.
Zach mentioned Elijah Moore, the Yak King, who had one catch for 3 yards on Sunday night. So no yak there. Not a popular guy as he departed here, although celebrated on draft day, Joe. And then Ty Johnson's also in Buffalo. How are those guys fitting in there? Obviously, it's new.
Yeah. Elijah Moore is the pretty locked in. I think he's locked into being game day active. you know, I think it would be up in the air between him and Curtis Samuel most weeks because both guys don't really play special teams. Yeah. But Samuel has per game active roster bonus money due. And so I'm assuming that's probably why that Elijah Moore gets, you know, the extended part. But also Samuel wasn't really healthy throughout the entirety of training camp, and Moore established a rapport with Josh Allen. So, Moore is, he's not going to get a ton of snaps. I talked about them condensing what they're doing with the wide receivers so far in week one, and I expect that to continue in week two since they just put up 41. Elijah Moore, if he needs to fill in, I think his best chance to do so would be if there's a Khalil Shakir injury. They use him mostly in the slot, he's been a solid addition. They've enjoyed it. He's had good training camp practices. So I just wouldn't expect him to have a large role anytime soon. Ty Johnson, they absolutely love. He's their third down guy, obvious passing situation guy. You know, the big conversation here about the James Cook contract was, okay, why are you going to pay a guy elite money back when he was asking $15 million a year?
Yeah.
Why are you going to pay it to him if he's getting less than 50% of the snaps and Ty Johnson is taking all the third down work? And which is a legitimate conversation. They wind up signing him basically for a 3-year deal for 10 a year, which is perfectly fine for his role and what he offers. But Ty Johnson isn't going anywhere anytime soon. He's going to be their second leading snap getter at most weeks at running back. He'll continue to be in that passing down role because they trust him as a blocker.
It's always funny when guys leave the Jets and become something like a fan favorite like that, because fans are not like, because he was like miscast, I think, in New York and didn't do great with it. And then he went elsewhere and it worked out.
I wouldn't doubt if Ty Johnson and Elijah Moore are captains at the coin toss this week. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Do they do that kind of thing with like the former team and stuff?
It's hit or miss. Like last week, it was like Reed Ferguson and somebody with the Ravens. Sometimes they do it for teams where they grew up near. And occasionally it's going up against old teams. So you wonder with
I'm sure Elijah Moore will get a hearty welcome from the MetLife crowd.
you know who used to do that all the time? Rex Ryan. Absolutely loved game X team angle.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't a great coach here, but that's neither here nor
Rex.
There.
Oh, Rex. Yeah. So we'll leave you on this. So how do you think this game goes on Sunday? Like how are you predicting this one?
Yeah, I was looking at just the lines of this game and I was kind of like, at both. I think it's 6.5 right now in favor of the Bills and also the total at 46.5. At that one, I'm like, are we sure?
Yeah,
it does feel low, which almost feels like it's a trap, but I'm going to take the bait. With what the Bills didn't show on defense, and also there's a chance they're down their top nickel corner, Taron Johnson, this week. He didn't practice at all on Wednesday. I didn't see him on the practice field at all. So we'll have to see what they estimate his injury or his practice, because they're doing a walkthrough today. So we'll have to see if he's a DNP again, but yeah, that could be a big loss for them. Yeah. And I need to see them actually prove they can stop the rushing game, because this is another good offensive line they're going up against. I mean, it's almost weird to say it about the Jets.
I know.
They have some good offensive line play.
I was thinking as you're saying it, I'm like, wow, did he say that?
Yeah.
Wow,
that's awkward. I think until they can prove that their linebackers can get off blocks consistently, and that they can prove they can do all this. The one thing that is going in their favor here is the fact that the Jets are a bit more, I guess, they're not as explosive as a passing attack outside of Garrett Wilson. Yes. And maybe you can be a bit more predictable with how they anticipate because the thing with Lamar was like their heads were everywhere, because Lamar was attacking them deep. He was attacking them to the sides. And then you had to deal with Derrick Henry right up the middle when you were trying to, you know, figure out taking away Lamar Jackson to the sides. So I think that's the one thing that does go in their favor. I'm definitely going to pick the Bills to win. Do I think it could be closer to that 6.5? Yeah. Do I think it could be over that 46.5? Yeah, that's probably where I'm leading.
I mean, the Bills could get 40 of that 46. So
true.
I mean,
true. All right, Joe. Possible with this team.
Thank you so much for coming on, Joe. We appreciate it. Everybody check out the Buffalo Beat for more about this game. I'm sure this week, I'm assuming you're going to talk about this game a little bit for more content from that side of things. And Joe, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Sunday, thanks Joe. For having me, guys. See you guys.
All right. So with that, I guess we should transition to our predictions for this game. And with that, let's go to the overall predictions. And man, thank you everyone for signing up for
shout out to the Discord.
Whew. We are at let me see what the total is.
It's like 70 or something, right?
It's around 70 people signed up.
Because we were joining if you haven't, by the way.
What's that?
I said you could still join if you haven't, by the way. Like it's still early. So
yeah, 1 week, but we are going to count week one because
we had so many submissions. Yeah.
So we don't want to hurt the people. But here's the top of the standings. Mojo Jets, GD Jets 1, and DLG 4-4. Those all sound familiar. I feel like they're returning people. All 9 out of 10. Wow. Mojo Jets picked the Giants. So, you know, you get what you get when you pick the Giants. GD Jets got the Bengals wrong and DLG 4-4 got the Falcons wrong. All right. So for this week, Zach.
Yeah.
Let me turn the page here. Actually, I'm not even going to bring them up. Do you have a, what are we going to do? Three?
Pick yeah, three? Let's do our three favorites. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you start?
I'll start Green Bay tonight. So this is third. We're recording on Thursday. If anybody's listening to this later,
get your Thursday pick in.
Yeah, I usually don't get my Thursday pick in time, but when I saw that we had so many people part of this pool, I'm like, you know, I got to be on top of it this year because I was not last year. There's weeks I forgot last year. So, but Green Bay, I think is, it's only 1 week. Washington have some concerns about. Green Bay just looks like a complete team, especially as Micah gets more adjusted. So I think 3.5, I think they're going to win that game. Let me see. I'll do two more.
These are my picks that if you're watching on YouTube, by the way, that you'll see.
I picked Seattle +3. I'm still not that high on the Steelers, frankly, and I think the Seahawks are going to bounce back.
We're going head-to-head on that one.
And then I have the Cowboys -6 against the Giants. I think the Giants are a complete disaster, and the Cowboys looked a little better than I expected. So those are the three I'm going with.
Yeah, I have Green Bay. I have Dallas also. I'm going to throw in, I think there's just an anger game here. The Ravens going back. It's a huge spread against Cleveland, 12.5. But I just feel like coming off that loss in Buffalo, the Ravens are going to come out and just destroy the Browns. So I took Baltimore. I had Dallas as well in Green Bay. And then the other AFC East game, because the whole division's going head-to-head this weekend, I'm going to take the Patriots on the road as the slight dogs at Miami. Neither of those teams look very impressive in week one. So I mean, going out of week one, Zach, I think it's pretty clear. Like, if you were to like say, how's this division going to shake down? It's like the Bills run away with it. Then I feel like the Jets legitimate shot to finish.
The Jets looked like the second best team in the division week one. The Patriots looked like crap. The Dolphins might have the number one pick.
Worst thing, crap.
So, but for the like Jets wise, if we're predicting that, I mean, I think +6.5. I saw you had it there. I don't know. I think they're going to keep it close. I could see a world where they win the game. I have a hard time predicting it just because Josh Allen is inevitable. So, like, even it's one of those games where even if they have a lead and they can control the clock, you still Josh Allen's going to get the ball at some point. And I don't trust Brandon Stevens yet. I don't trust the safeties. The linebackers even struggled in coverage. So, you know, if I'm predicting, I feel weird predicting a high scoring game, but I'll say, you know, let's go 30-27, like something like that. Like let's go all in on these high scoring games every week. I know Aaron Glenn won't be happy with it, but I'm into it.
30-27 would be very safely in the over, which I think is you're actually thinking about betting that game, like that over under is.
That seems low. Vegas like always seems to know something, but it doesn't.
Yeah, they'll know something. I think the Jets keep it close as well. Although the late touchdown to put it over 6.5 is definitely possible in play. As well. But I will say on the fly, 27-21. And the Jets get
decently high scoring.
Covered by that half point. Yep.
I just want a fun football game. Just keep it fun. Yeah. Let's make the Jets fun again.
I like that slogan.
Yeah. Make I won't wear Jets put it on a hat or anything. I'm not going to do that. But
please don't do that. All right, I think that's it. Did we miss anything?
I don't think so. But we'll come. We'll hit you guys back. We'll probably be back on our regular day after the game schedule.
This week was a little crazy. We had to do Sunday but next week Monday.
I won't be shoving pizza down my gullet right before the episode this time. I can promise you.
Monday morning, four downs. We'll talk about the game specifically, and then we'll be back later in the week to preview game 3. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Flight Plan Podcast.